time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
This is like an abusive relationship you're in. You know? Maybe you'll change.
Pete Thamel.
That's if you listen to our pod, whenever Pat's like mad at taking a pick.
With SI's Pat Forty.
Well, I mean, I've bashed Oklahoma all year. I've been unimpressed with how they've played.
Here's Pat, Pete, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. It is race for the case time. Get this business going. Michigan at Penn State. High noon. ABC. Penn State is a 1-point favorite. The over-under is 48.5. BetMGM, 70% of the bets, 90% of the money on the Michigan Wolverines. Pat, who you got?
Oof. This one I am very conflicted on. I really am. I think so much depends on whether Michigan can run the ball against a good Penn State defense. I think if they can, they can set their terms. They can control this thing, and they absolutely can get after the passer, not just with Aiden Hutchinson, but also David Ojabo. So I'm going to bet that the Wolverines can run the ball well enough, move the ball, score, and then make life hard for a Penn State offense that really has to throw to move. So I'm going to take the Wolverines in a close one.
As long as Sean Clifford's healthy, I don't have any issue taking Penn State here. I just really don't think Michigan has played many good teams. And the one competent team they faced, they struggled with. And so I really feel like this is the most hostile environment they'll have played. Now, Michigan State was certainly hostile. I think Penn State overall has more talent. They don't have Kenneth Walker III, but I think pound for pound, you know, 1-40, they're a more talented program. And I think they can handle Michigan. I think it'll be low scoring. I think this is like a 20-14 type game. But maybe I'm recency biased from seeing Penn State live and really stop the run well, especially for the first half against Ohio State. But I'm going to take the Nittany Lions here. And certainly, as I mentioned in the last pod, Michigan struggles in-state college factor into my decision there.
Yep, you're right, Pete. They're looking for the first one in Happy Valley since 2015. Definitely a place where their dreams have gone to die. But I'm going to bet on the best group in this game in the Michigan pass rush. I think they're going to limit Sean Clifford and get the Wolverines over the hump at Penn State.
Pooh, that's the problem with 1-point games, right? I'm going to take Michigan. I think Michigan can win this game, and if you're going to give me a point, I guess I'll take it. Wouldn't mind if it was a little more, but I'm obviously not going to get that. But yeah, I think the pass rush can wreak havoc. It can also knock Sean Clifford out for a few plays or series or whatever. I'm not wishing that on anything, but that's part of the game, and Penn State's got no depth there. They showed they can pass against Michigan State. And with all due respect to State College, noon game there is not going to be as rowdy as Michigan State. Michigan State's environment that day could not be defeated anywhere in the country. That was like they were rabid getting their shot at the Wolverines. Stadium might be a little bigger, but that was a fired up Michigan State crowd in East Lansing that day. And Michigan lost, but they played very well. And as Jim Harbaugh has told everyone, the Big Ten has apologized for screwing up the refereeing, or they would have won. I'll take Michigan, Pete. Lone Wolf and the Nittany Lions. So there you go.
Me and 100,000 of my closest friends, all wearing white.
Oklahoma Sooners back from their off week. They are at Baylor, which has to have a staff shakeup because their one of their coordinators left to become the Texas Tech head coach. That's geez, thanks. Game is noon on Fox. Over under is 63. Oklahoma is giving 5.5 on the road. Baylor, the home dog, 75% of the bets, yet just 50% of the money is on Oklahoma at BetMGM. I don't know if it's like one big Baylor fan betting a ton of money. What is that? Pete, who you got?
Look, Oklahoma, the past couple of years on Lincoln Riley, has always struggled with sort of smash mouth teams. And that is what Baylor has emerged as in Dave Aranda's second season. So if you're going to give me a home underdog getting, what is it, 5.5?
5.5.
5.5 points. This is by far the best team that Oklahoma's played this year. And this is by far their biggest challenge. It will be a rowdy environment. I mean, this is, the biggest game at Baylor since, you know, since I think game day came when Matt Rhule was there a couple of years back. Like, this is a big time moment for Baylor and Dave Aranda, and I think they're going to meet it. And let's just not forget, Oklahoma's defense has just stunk. Like, that whole recalibrated defense, like, they haven't done it. So I think Baylor will be able to, Jeff Grimes' offense will be able to win the point of attack, move the ball, and I think Baylor wins this game outright. So I'm certainly going to take the 5.5 points. And as much as we love Joey McGuire and we loved his press conference, I don't exactly think he had a big voice in the X's and O's when you look at, obviously, Dave Aranda's a defensive head coach, and then Ron Roberts, who's his longtime friend. He worked for Ron Roberts at Delta State. I think Joey McGuire was a little bit more of a motivational recruiter type guy. So I don't think when, you know, push comes to shove, that loss, though significant for the program, is going to show up on Saturday.
Well, I mean, I've bashed Oklahoma all year. I've been unimpressed with how they've played. And I've been infuriated by them being ranked in the top five. And I was glad the playoff committee got it right with them in terms of pushing them down the ladder a little bit. All that said, you see Baylor's pass defense last week against TCU with a freshman quarterback? Gave up 468 passing yards. This is Oklahoma. Caleb Williams is playing well. He's got guys to throw to. I just think that that's a defense that has taken a step back, and it could be one of those teams that we see very often play on a very high level for as long as they can, and then all of a sudden they bump that ceiling and they lose some of their juice, lose some of their mojo. Whereas Oklahoma, coming off of an off week, getting the bye advantage, should be more rested, should be have Caleb Williams, you know, even more locked in on what he needs to do. So I don't like the Sooners, but I'm taking them to cover the 5.5.
Whenever Pat argues with himself, he always loses. That's if you listen to our pod, whenever Pat's like mad at taking a pick, the pick never goes Pat's way.
I'm not that mad at this. Not that mad.
I was like, I hate
you.
Just
ask Pat about Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze in Oxford last week.
Yeah, that was, what? Yeah.
What was that? Just that you just were like, I hate them. They're horrible. I hate them. It's
like but I like Baylor even less. How about
this? This is like an abusive relationship you're in. You know? Maybe you'll change. Said he's going to change. Nobody knows him like I do. There's a good side. Okay.
Just give me the pick, Sully.
Yep. Bears are 5-0 at home at this season, and they're covering machines at home, winning those contests by an average of 21 points behind a stellar offense. This, as Pete mentioned, this is the best offense that Baylor's seen by far. Yes, Baylor's secondary sucks, but OU's defense is even worse. Give me the 5.5 points. Go Sick 'em Bears.
You guys understand that Caleb Williams is the quarterback now? Yeah, not Spencer Rattler. I don't care what happened early in the season. Future number one draft pick in the NFL.
Is he playing linebacker too?
He'll be fine. Not going to need to. 50-something points. You're telling me they got a bad secondary? Oh, boy. I'll take the Sooners. I'll take the Sooners. Best quarterback. I'm happy. I'm glad I'm opposed to to Pete twice right now. Of course, I'm a
there you go.
It's a good tension this week. I like it.
We're
like
coming back at Pete. This is our last chance. We got to dig in and make a comeback here.
I'm seven behind in the loss game.
Well, I have 500 2 weeks in a row, so, you know, maybe this is the great collapse.
The Spoilermakers are at Ohio State, 3:30 on ABC. Odds makers, just cruel. Buckeyes, -20.5. Given 20.5.
Pretty over devilish under, line.
60.5. 80% of the bets, 70% of the monies at BetMGM is on Purdue. Everyone wants that money. Huge. Huge number right there.
Sure wish it was 21.5, but 20.5 is enough. I'll take it with Purdue. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game, up and down the field, back and forth. Both defenses, well, you know, Purdue's defense is actually pretty good statistically, but you're going up against a different element of athletes here with Ohio State. I mean, their receivers are so good. Like Jackson Smith and Jigba, what he's all of a sudden showed, my gosh, another monster they've got on the outside. But I like the points. Give me Purdue. They're playing well. They're a good team. They do have two of the best players on the field, even with Ohio State, with all that talent. But between David Bell and George Karlaftis, defensive end and wide receiver, they've got some studs, some real studs, like NFL studs. So I think The Boilermakers go in loose, breezy, got a good game plan, can exploit that secondary enough to cover the number.
I hate to agree with Pat, but I'm going to definitely take the 20.5 points here. I think Ohio State wins the game. I think they win the game handily. I just don't see a path Purdue doesn't score a little bit. Like, this isn't going to be Maryland 52-7. Like, I think Ohio State will score in the 40s, and I think Purdue will score in the 20s. But this is just not an Ohio State outfit that can blow out great teams. For all the reasons Pat said, look at me agreeing with Pat. I will take the Boilermakers.
And as Pat noted in the Dash and on the podcast, Ohio State's red zone offense is not good. On the flip side, Purdue historically under Brohm has been really good in the red area. And the Giant Killers might not win outright, but they can definitely cover the number. Go Boilers.
Yeah, I'm surprised the number is this big. I mean, Ohio State, I was rolling for a while on Ohio State blowing teams out, but that was Indiana, Rutgers, and Maryland. They just won 20. They won by nine at Nebraska. It was a close game against Penn State. Stroud is not above turning the ball over. I think Purdue's going to score some points. So I'll take, you give me 20.5 in this, I'll take Purdue. And we're all in agreement on that one, but it is a little bit of a gulp. It's like, wait, Ohio State's playing Purdue and I'm taking Purdue. But I am.
It's a logo line though, I think. Like, it's just, yeah. You look at the logos.
Laundry. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I thought it would be closer because Purdue just had the big win, you know, and there'd be all this hype, but we will see. I mean, if Ohio State beats Purdue by 3 touchdowns plus, we'll be on this podcast on Sunday being like, damn, that was impressive.
Yeah.
Like, yes. There is absolutely no shame in beating Purdue by like 13. That would be a really, really good win. And you wouldn't come close to covering. So I don't know. All right. Huge game in the SEC West. Texas A&M at Ole Miss. And we're going to get to the gambling prospects. But whoever wins this game has a little bit of an edge on the SEC West title if Alabama loses to Auburn or somewhere it stumbles along the way. A&M would have the same 2 losses as Alabama, but a head-to-head by defeating them. Ole Miss could still finish with just 1 conference loss, which would be to Alabama, but Alabama could rack up a 2nd. So this game has a little secondary shot at possibly sneaking into Atlanta. So a lot of juice on it, and certainly should be very interesting. The Ole Miss offense against the Texas A&M defense is the irresistible force and the immovable object. Game is at 7 on ESPN. The Aggies are giving 3. The over-under is 55.5. The BetMGM consumer not sold on the Rebels. 80% of the bets, 90% of the money on A&M. Sully, why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah. Ole Miss touts the 13th best rush defense in the SEC. On the flip side, the Aggies are really good on the ground. They gashed Mizzou and South Carolina, comparable rush defenses in the league. I expect the stout Aggie defense to get enough stops against Matt Corral and company. Give me the road favorites.
I'll roll here. I feel like we've picked Ole Miss every week this season, by the way. Is that fair? Like, as usual, when I pick Ole Miss, I tout DJ Durkin's defense. And when I pick against them, I point out the flaws in DJ Durkin's defense. I really think in this game, Mike Elko, who I believe is one of the 3-4 best defensive coordinators in all of college football, will figure out a way to slow down Lane Kiffin and Jeff Lebby's offense. A&M has really come into its own defensively. They are 2nd in the country in scoring defense behind Georgia. Now, Georgia's only giving up 6.6 points per game, which is preposterous. A&M is 2nd at 14.7, one ahead of Cincinnati, which is somewhat interesting. But I really feel like as Zach Calzada became more comfortable in that Alabama game, it was a distinct pivot point, and they have been able to roll with a little bit more comfort from that point on. So Auburn's defense did slow them down. They only scored 20, and one of those was a defensive touchdown last week. But I feel like this A&M defense has the personnel to bully and slow down Ole Miss up front and figure it out. So I will take the Aggies in a close.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this sets up well for the Aggies. I think Ole Miss has had a very good season. This is the defense that can really, I think, gum up that offense a little bit more. Heck, Liberty did a decent job of it last week, and Texas A&M's defense is much, much better. Got a front that can get after Matt Corral. John Rhys Plumlee, they've used him as a little bit kind of as an X-factor guy. The X-factor isn't going to fly against the Aggies. So Texas A&M wins, covers, maybe not even that close. So the line's 3. I wouldn't be shocked if they win by 10.
I like the Aggies here too. Obviously, nothing I can add much, except I'm done betting on Lane Kiffin's teams. We have picked a lot of. And here's the thing. It's not that they can't win, because they can. It's if you're betting and they're getting points, they're infuriating because he won't kick field goals.
Right.
Yeah. If you just kicked the field goals, we would have covered like three times this year that we didn't or something like that. And you're watching the game. So they're going to be down five with like 6 minutes left. And they're going to have the ball in field goal range. And it's going to be like fourth and nine. And you go kick the field goal, get the ball back, go back down, kick a field goal and win. But he's not going to kick the field goal. He's going to go for it. They're going to sail the ball into the third row. Well, that's what the analytics said. And you're over here getting your ass beat because you can't kick a field goal.
Listen to the anger, the residual anger going back to like Ole Miss, Arkansas.
And, yeah. You know,
you always realize why fans really hate coaches. It's when the coaches cost them money.
Yeah.
This is what we're seeing in the example. Yeah. Or in this case, pride. And eventually beer for Dan.
Yeah, very much so. So, yeah.
Lane only had a season low one fourth down attempt last week against Liberty. He was like on a record pace, and now he's slowed down a bit.
He's not necessarily doing the wrong thing, but as a bettor, I don't want to lose that. It's more the emotional. It's the spiritual. I need it than the financial. It'd just be very frustrating. Anyway, that's where we're at. So I'll take the Aggies. I also think they're really good right now. I think they're playing. What they did to Auburn was extremely impressive. All right, Notre Dame Fighting Irish is at Virginia. 7:30 on ABC. Irish versus the Fighting Mendenhall's Fighting Broncos. Should really just call them the Broncos, right? There you go. Should have been the Boise coach or Western Michigan. Notre Dame's given 5, over under 64.5. 70% of the bets, 70% of the money, Notre Dame.
This is the last of Notre Dame's open date disadvantage games. I'm tempted to go Virginia, but I'm not. I'm going to take Notre Dame because I saw BYU just run for like weeks on the Cavaliers. And Kyren Williams is a very good back who's having a very good season. And I think that he's going to have a very big game and pile it up. On the Cavaliers, ball control game for the Irish, win, cover.
Boy, I would not, if there's any game I don't feel good about picking, it's this game. Virginia's been a little schizophrenic this year. Like, they've scored points. They've not shown up. Like, they're a tough team to gauge. Notre Dame is, like, driving 56 in the fast lane. Like, they're going to get there eventually, but, like, there's not a lot of flash and sizzle. They have, to Brian Kelly's credit, gotten a lot better as the year has gone on, but you're still like taking Jack Cohn on the road. So you're not going to feel great at any point on Saturday. So that said, I'm going to take the Irish because Brian Kelly has just made a season of figuring out how to win these kind of games. He's really made a career out of winning these kind of games, and he tends to win as a favorite. And I'm not going to get cute and think UVA is going to like lose by 3 in cover. So I'm going to go with Brian Kelly, pragmatic winner. And I think they win by a touchdown.
Quarterback Brendan Armstrong is a game time decision for the Hoos. So make sure you versed in his status before you put any money on this game. Virginia's, as Pat noted, sixth opponent that the Irish have faced coming off a bye. They're 4-1 so far. I'm going to pick them to go 5-1 there and get the win and cover.
Irish, man, they're coming through all year. Great run game. And I'll take them. They're not worried about the road. They're not worried about bye weeks or what anything else. I will take Notre Dame to win this game and cover. All right, lock of the week time. Anyone do any prep? Sully, usually have your lock of the week ready.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I do. I do. Another injury update. Connor Bazelak is iffy for Mizzou, but I'm still taking him over South Carolina. They're only laying a point against the lowly Gamecocks, and in that bean pot race was a little tilted when Florida had a bunch of players out for the flu last week. So give me Mizzou laying a point, whether Bazelak's playing or not.
You picked Missouri?
I picked Missouri. Wow.
I am surprised. And I could quote you from the group text like a month ago, Missouri sucks ass, Pat. But
they do suck ass. But
they do.
South Carolina sucks more ass.
I wouldn't pick them, boy. Woo. All right. Go for it. I got mine. I am going to the once great Miami-Florida State rivalry, now a shell of itself. Yeah, sorry to beat you to it, but Florida State still sucks. I mean, they've played some people close. Miami has played some people close, but Miami's found itself. Backup quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, as he's coming, he's played very well. Miami's won three in a row. They've beaten better teams than Florida State in that stretch. They're going to make it four in a row. The number is only 2.5. There will not be an atmosphere in Doak Campbell. I mean, maybe they'll try for a little while, but I just think that fan base is beaten down and expecting defeat. So I don't think Miami goes in there and freaks out or anything. Canes win and cover the measly 2.5.
All right. I am going on the hangover effect. I'm going on the hangover effect. And where, what place dishes out hangovers like no one other? Vegas, baby. Vegas. UNLV had lost 14 straight, something like that. Hadn't won in years, hadn't won since 2019. And then they defeat New Mexico 31-17. And I'm not saying the guys all went out and got drunk, but I wouldn't have blamed them if they did. But, you know, maybe they just went around that giant wheel thing or you know, they hit
all
the
you can drink. It's a good time.
Whatever you got to do, they did. Whatever you did to celebrate, they did. And now in comes the gritty Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Yeah, they ain't much. They ain't much. This is a tough game to watch. 4-6. But inexplicably, the spread is just Hawaii giving 1 point. 1 point. That's it. All Hawaii's going to do is beat the worst team other than not located in New England in the country by more than 1 point.
They look pretty good against San Diego State last week, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, taking Hawaii. They've been close. They've won some games. They're all right. They beat Fresno. I'm taking Hawaii. That's my lock. No football reasoning. I couldn't name two players in the game.
I like it. No, it's all right. It's all right. You know what? You recognize the team that's coming off the season highlight and go against.
Well, I'm going to stay in the Mountain West, and I'm going to take Boise State 13.5-point home favorites against Wyoming. Boise, after losing some tough games early, has gotten sneaky hot here. They beat BYU on the road. They lost to Air Force, but then they won at Colorado State, and they thumped Fresno on Saturday. They won 40-14. They've scored all year. They scored against UCF. They scored against UTEP. So I have no problem seeing them rack up some points. And Wyoming's offense has really struggled. I picked against Wyoming earlier in the year in a lock and won. And so I really feel like Boise can hang 41 and should be able to cruise and cover. I know Dan's disappointed because he usually picks Boise like four times a year as his lock. So he's going to have to be rooting for me at the Blue Turf on Saturday night.
You got to do what you got to do. All right. Well, there you go. We're ready. Pete is still in the lead by six games in the loss column. So we got to reel him in.
We do.
Against Boise this time. We're going to, you know, it's tough with Maction taking off the board.
I wanted to
take Northern Illinois, getting three. We don't really get to discuss.
I would not have taken Northern, by the way. We can just
they
can
win
just
close games.
About that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. By the time people are listening, they will know. There was also the great battle of Interstate 75, the I-75 game.
Oh, and we were flagged on Twitter by, I think, a Bowling Green administrator who wanted some love for the battle of I-75, the war of I-75. So. There's some love for you, baby.
Which one of your schools is getting Spencer James from All-American? That's from the CW's All-American. Is it Bowling Green State or is it Toledo? Because Toledo State, I'm so confused. I can't even talk about these things. Everyone gets a Fricker's chicken. It's good stuff down there. And make the most of it. Other intriguing games that we didn't get to. Auburn, Mississippi State. Who knows where that is?
Yeah, I thought about that. I looked at that.
UNC Pitt, that's going to be like 50-45.
Yeah, that's Thursday, right?
That is a Thursday game.
Very good. Very good Thursday night game. There will be some fireworks. Our guy Tim Salem will have the tight ends coached up for the Panthers.
Yeah, baby.
For sure.
I have to say for our loyal listeners that I met Tim Salem last week.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
And yes, in the Pitt office, I got a story coming on Kenny Pickett on Yahoo this week, and Tim Salem drinks 6 Mountain Dew a day. He used to drink 12. He looks down on those who drink Diet Mountain Dew, and he said, green means go, baby. Green means go. So he showed me his diet. He showed me his Mountain Dew stash. He has his own fridge, like in the Pitt break area. Just for his Mountain Dew, And he said he can chug a Mountain Dew at 10 p.m. and go to bed at 10:01.
Oh, my God.
Which completely does not affect
Salem. Is it true? Is he still opening the bottles, letting the fizz out because he doesn't have time for the fizz?
Oh, yes. Green means go. He's got to go.
That should be their marketing slogan.
Yes, that's it's 100% true.
Better than like do the do.
Green means go, and then the sub slogan: just as good flat as it is carbonated.
Yeah.
Yes.
None of this is true.
I definitely chided the Pitt SID EJ Borghetti for not getting Tim Salem the Broyles Award at some point yet in his career. It's a big fail. He wins our Broyles Award every year. Tim Salem does. So yes, it was nice to have one of our pod heroes come to life.
Yeah, I'll say NC State at Wake. Going to be a very interesting game in ACC action. Wake's given two. Nevada and San Diego State have a big game. A late game, the drunk game, the bar, last call at the bar game. Do a lot to discuss.
For a spot in the Mountain West title game.
Yeah, Mountain West title game will be set up. UMass is playing a second consecutive 1AA team. They lost last week to Rhode Island. Can they handle Maine? If they can't do that, we're down to they beat UConn. They aren't playing New Hampshire, and Vermont doesn't have a team. So pretty much got New England covered there. So anyway, that's good. That's easy season ticket sales. Two get to play Rhode Island and Maine back-to-back. Don't want to miss those. Want to miss those. Yeah.
Water cooler, baby. There's people at your water cooler in downtown Springfield who, you know, went to Rhode Island, Maine, and UMass.
There aren't. they're talking about Mac Jones. All right. That's our pod. Exciting week. We'll be back Sunday to break it all down and overreact to all of it. Keep listening. Subscribe. Talk to you later.